You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Doesn't seem like that's going to get resolved anytime soon. Okay, so Julio Jones, we found out yesterday that he did not know he was on TV when he got that call. Who was it?
Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp called him during the show. Hey, you want to be in Atlanta? No, I'm out, bro. He didn't know he was on television when Shannon Sharp ambushed him, more or less. Kristaps knew here that he was on the radio. Kristaps, I know, maybe he forgot because he was so tired, but he's asking for a trade here.
He said, come get me, Latvian LeBron.
Yeah. Come get me.
I didn't know this.
Come get your man.
I didn't know the similarities because they both were number six. Well, LeBron doesn't wear number six anymore, but Luka, I mean, I keep calling him that. I'm going to insult him. Kristaps wears number six now, yeah. I think, in honor of LeBron's time in Miami.
You're getting a lot like golf fans who keep, now they're screaming at DeChambeau. Brooke, they're calling him Brooksy.
Look, I don't want to.
Well, they know who they're talking to.
Well,
no.
Yeah. He keeps. I don't keep insulting him.
I don't really want to insult him, but it feels like, you know, I'm just trying to stoke the fire because he seems tired. Maybe if I motivate him, he'll play better.
I don't think that this is salvageable. We'll see if this is a Chris Paul, James Harden situation.
Well, if Luka would actually get some ice cream instead of frozen yogurt, maybe things would turn around.
I didn't think that's something. They're both basically the same thing to me.
Topgolf.
Who cares? Yeah, Topgolf is what settles down a relationship. That's what shows true friendship. And going out together and having a romantic evening together with one Instagram model—that didn't sound.
No,
I don't think playing. I don't think
the Eiffel Tower. That's being an NBA player now.
That's an NFL player. If you're the Thomas brothers,
Delonte West would tell you.
Look, I don't know if threatening to, you know, do stuff with the dude's mom is going to help the cause.
That's going to hurt his mom now.
Well, I understand.
I don't know. There's a bunch of pictures. Did you look her up
during the break?
Well, I wanted to see. I didn't know she was a thing.
And. She's the thing.
I don't know. And what you don't see is a Mr. Doncic.
Well, according to Wiki, they got divorced in 08.
Okay, so there you go.
Oh.
She's out there for Kristaps. If you know what? Oh. Maybe that's the rift, just like Delonte West and LeBron.
Didn't Dallas have an issue with one of, like, they were trying, well, was it Tony Braxton that the,
yeah.
when Jason Kidd and,
it was Tony
and
Braxton.
Jim Jackson and all Jim those
Jackson,
guys were there?
Jason Kidd. Yeah, it was those two guys.
Yeah, so now a new rift is going to occur, but this time it involves a mom?
Well. No, I don't
like
know.
That.
I hope
that's too
hope
salacious.
Not. That's dirty.
I don't want any of that. No, but yeah, Delonte West was bad enough. Now we're starting this. Now we don't need this. And certainly Miss Doncic doesn't need this.
Well, if we know the history of those type of things, Kristaps going to wind up homeless.
Because that's what happened to
Delonte West.
Oh, Delonte went way sideways.
Kristaps ain't ended up homeless with his 30 a year.
He's got too much money.
At 13 points a game. But he does lead the team with 0.7 blocks per game, which is nice.
And that was a big deal when you brought that up.
That was a pretty
big deal. He got excited. That doesn't happen by accident. I would argue that kind
of
does.
0.7 feels like almost a couple of accidental blocks.
Yeah.
1.3 steals per game as well.
Ooh. Wow, with 1,000 possessions a game? How do you get 1.3 steals a game?
He's doing his part. That's all I know.
Yeah. It sounds like it. It sounds like that show off Luka.
Yeah.
Is just slowing everything down.
Yep. Yeah,
if Luka would just stop doing that, you know, garbage he's doing to bring attention on himself, like score and assist and rebound like he's paid to do.
Terrible. When we come back, Aaron Rodgers not reporting. You got some thoughts. You talked to some people behind the scenes. So let's do that.
For Packers fans, I got a little something for you here that is going to be news that you... I don't know that you've heard all this news, so you might enjoy this. I know my man from Texas Custom Patios is listening right now.
Underdog Fantasy.
I know. I'm going to talk about them, but Steven, make sure that you keep listening. Steven's a guy that I've spoken for a while over Texas Custom Patios, but the company I'm speaking for right now is somebody I'm very, very excited about, and that's Underdog Fantasy. It was introduced to me. You know, Mark Cuban, as a matter of fact, is one of the investors on this. They've got some heavy hitters who love what Underdog is doing. And when I checked out what they're doing right now, and I've been someone who's been in fantasy football for years, daily fantasy, I think they are doing something really special right now. They got a best ball format. It's easy to play. No waivers, no trades. All you do is just draft. You set it, you forget it, and you're absolutely done in a 12-team league over 18 rounds. That's the whole year. You can sign up for their big contest, the Best Ball Mania 2 tournament. It's just $25 to enter and over $3.5 million in total prizes. But here's the great thing. When you sign up with the promo code RADIO, they're going to give you $25 in your account. And then just take those $25 and enter into Best Ball Mania 2 for your chance to make some of that money if you're really good at fantasy football. And they have so much more. They've got daily fantasy stuff going on in baseball, in basketball. They have an over-under where you get to pick it and then do multipliers, like pick 2, 3, 4, 5, can multiply how much you can win. This is truly incredible. Once again, just use promo code RADIO, make your first deposit, and you're going to receive $25 in bonus cash. Check out the website, underdogfantasy.com, or find them in your app store. It's great to register through the app store, where you can get it on Android or Apple. But I've played a lot of fantasy. I've been involved in a lot of daily fantasy, and this is the most unique site that I've seen up to this point, underdogfantasy.com.
If you can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show, we've got just the thing for you, and it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
Say what?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Look, anything could happen at the last moment, and Aaron Rodgers could have a change of heart, a reversal of fortune, whatever it may be, and suddenly, unexpectedly, he could show up. But I think we operate under the assumption that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be there on Tuesday when the Green Bay Packers convene for their three-day mandatory minicamp. Why would he show now when he hasn't been in voluntary OTAs, when nothing has been resolved between the two sides, when the Packers have made multiple attempts to try to bridge their gap and appease their quarterback, and nothing has happened? And the real interesting part of this, of course, would be that if and when Aaron Rodgers is not there on Tuesday, as I think is the expectation, then he would be eligible to be fined over $93,000. But the Green Bay Packers also can just say, Kevin, this is an excused absence. And if it's an excused absence, they don't have to fine him. And if they don't fine him, then they just push their problems and their inevitable disagreement down the line to maybe before training camp, when this saga would be continued at that point.
Adam Schefter talking about the Aaron Rodgers situation. Is this all about money?
Yeah, not all about money, but a lot of it is. But I think it became personal when the Packers wouldn't give in. This is what I've heard from a couple of insiders, that this is about, it started off about the contract. Because you notice that you didn't hear, like, Aaron Rodgers was all of a sudden wanted to be traded the day of the draft, right? Kind of seemed to come out of nowhere. We knew that he was still a little salty about Jordan Love being picked or not getting wide receiver help or whatever the case was. What I've been told is this is very much about guaranteed money. He wants to get a new school quarterback contract with a ton of guaranteed money, and the Packers don't do it that way. The Packers have a way of doing things that are best for their organization, that are best for the long-term viability, and Aaron Rodgers is an older quarterback, even though he's coming off an MVP season. So I think what Brian Gutekunst and the entire Packer organization believes is, hey, you know, this is the way that we do things, and we don't want to open up a hornet's nest, or I don't know. You don't open up a hornet's nest. That's not what you say.
No, Pandora's box.
Yeah. But you definitely don't like opening hornet's nests either, because it's extraordinarily dangerous.
Yeah, no.
So don't open either, but they don't want this to be the new precedent that they set, that players will be able to ask for all of this Kirk Cousins guaranteed money. I don't think that's the way the Packers want to operate, even with Aaron Rodgers. Now, with Aaron Rodgers, I think some of it is personal with the GM. And I think with his agent, David Dunn, what I've heard is that David Dunn is making a major power play, that this is David Dunn's way. And once again, this is not coming from me. This is coming from somebody who is a little more close to the situation, who said that David Dunn, who is his agent, this is a chance for he's been kind of out of the mix for a while in terms of being a big-time representative, even though he works for a big-time company, and that this is his chance to really flex his muscles with Aaron, trying to get Aaron a great deal with a ton of guaranteed money. I think Aaron is a little salty at the general manager. Anyway, so it may be on a couple different fronts, but what I was also told is that the belief is Aaron Rodgers is going to get paid, that eventually the Green Bay Packers will pay him and this will all be over and Packers fans can rest. They can rest assured that Rodgers will be a Packer and that it could be a lifetime Packer deal unless they want to end up moving him or creating a contract that makes it easier to move him, which I don't see happening. I think Aaron Rodgers will eventually retire as Green Bay Packer. That means that their first round pick was a total waste in Jordan Love, if that's the case. And that's, you just can't afford to throw away a first rounder. I mean, I guess you hang on to him. You don't want to trade him. It's like when a stock drops in value, you just hang on to it and wait to see if it comes back up. I think all you can do is wait on Jordan Love, but that's going to be super expensive by the time the fifth year rolls around if Aaron Rodgers is still you can't pick up a fifth-year option. So we'll see what happens in Green Bay. But the people I spoke with that have some knowledge of this believe that this is a lot of this has to do with agent versus organization and that something will eventually be worked out. Now, what I think what's a little bit tricky is, did you see what Mark Murphy came out and said, John, over the weekend about this situation?
Mm-hmm.
He said that the Aaron Rodgers situation has divided the fan base. Now, I think it's funny because I was listening to somebody nationally who said that's not the case. Every Green Bay Packer fan would be on board with Aaron Rodgers coming back. I don't think that's what it's about. I recently, last week, I did a 1-hour virtual conference for this group out of Green Bay, and we just spoke about Packers for a full hour. And I can tell you that through those conversations and through things I'm seeing online, a lot of Packer fans are not happy with Aaron Rodgers. A lot of
this
Packer
happened
fans
immediately are. With Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
let him go. Who cares?
But,
you want to be?
It was more.
Be a,
it was more mad at the organization, but probably 80% at the beginning.
Yeah, but there were plenty of people that were like, though. "He doesn't get. He's a player. He should know his place. He doesn't get to pick the GM. He
we just signed
Deshaun,
a new contract.
Beat it. You don't want to be here. Beat
well,
it.
It's even worse with Deshaun because." He didn't have a quarterback drafted behind him in the first. Deshaun was given everything he wanted contractually, too.
Yeah.
You want no trade? That's fine, Deshaun. Here. Oh, you want this much guaranteed? That's fine. Oh, you want a short-term contract, Deshaun? Fine. They literally gave Deshaun everything he wanted,
listen,
and then he asked for
I
it.
Did 3 years in Green Bay, in the Green Bay Penitentiary,
oh.
Which it was it was the worst. Anyway, I did 3 years up there. I can tell you, if you ain't on board with Green Bay, If you have any kind of disloyalty to Green Bay, you are going to hear it from Green Bay people. They are not going to be all on board
they're
with you.
They're called Greenbaysians.
No, that's not.
Yeah.
No.
They're called Greenbaysians.
They're Green Bayans.
They're not called Green Bay people. They're called Greenbaysians.
That's
the name. I'm sorry.
Listen. You gotta be all on board there. You should love it. It's the greatest organization in the history of sports.
It is different than any other organization.
It is different. You don't have all that
small
big
town,
city stuff.
Small town, owned by the people.
Yeah. No, the team is owned by the people.
It's what they have.
Yeah. So it is. It's your it's their identity. And if you don't want to be a Packer, then screw you. Then you're not a Packer. It could because it's the greatest stadium. It's the greatest place. No one ever leaves Green Bay. No one. If you're born there, you never leave there ever. You don't go on vacation. You maybe go to Door County. That's it.
You don't go on vacation.
You only go to Door.
Do they let you out? Is it under his eye?
No.
I'm
telling you, it's a penitentiary. I was able to escape.
Okay? Is it Gilead?
I had to dig my way out. Okay. Like behind the Raquel Welsh, I had to dig out. Behind that poster for years, it took me to get out of there. But that it is like unlike anywhere else you've ever been. So Aaron Rodgers is, I'll bet, not that I agree with him, but I believe Mark Murphy. I'll bet he gets a ton of emails and letters that say, let him go.
So the fact he said it out loud was, that was curious to me, because now I feel like, yes, trade Aaron Rodgers, move Aaron Rodgers is potentially on the board. But I also think the thing you really need to keep an eye on is this fan base has been splintered. Boom. GM is gone. Aaron gets a long-term deal. It's all settled. I think that's a very real possibility. And it's unfortunate for the GM, because I think he's trying to run the team like they've always run the team. But I think there is a possibility that this could cost the GM his job down the road if David Dunn and Aaron Rodgers really, really dig in. I just don't see him trading him. If you trade Aaron Rodgers, your window of opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl is officially over. It is over.
Yeah.
It ain't happening with Jordan Love. Your window of opportunity is over if Aaron Rodgers leaves. And yeah. This is not – go down – think about this. I want you to think about this. Who are the four best teams in the NFC?
The four best teams.
And what are your expectations of the four best teams this year?
The four best teams in the NFC.
Because I went through this exercise.
Well, there's nobody in the East. It's the Packers, okay,
yep.
in the North.
Yep.
And it's Tampa in the
yep.
South.
Yep.
It's San Francisco in the West.
Yep. And who's
and
the
then
four?
I would say that's maybe the Rams.
Rams or Seattle.
Well, Rams
probably
now,
not. Probably not Saints.
With Stafford, it's the Rams. And without, okay. No, the Saints, no. Okay. The Saints are going to take
so a So let's say that. Those are your four. I mean, Tampa could be fat and happy after winning.
They
and
got
they're
everybody
older,
back, though.
And they're older. Yeah, but they got a bunch of older guys back, too.
But usually so we'll a Super Bowl team will lose guys. That'll be a plus that they didn't lose anybody.
But it's hard for Super Bowl teams to keep the same,
no, yeah,
same juice. San Francisco, I think, is legitimate, but they still have Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll see how they do with that. And then you mentioned the Rams. You're kind of, we'll see what happens with the Rams.
Matthew Stafford should make them better.
This is still a great opportunity for Green Bay. And the reason I ask that question is because this still is a great opportunity for Green Bay to get through and get to a Super Bowl. They're still one of the favorites in the NFC. If you trade Aaron Rodgers, it is over.
Over.
I just don't think to have this opportunity, I don't think they're going to pass on it. I think they will give in. And the question is going to be, you know, how do they deal with that? You know, if Deshaun had never gotten himself in any trouble at all, or if it hadn't come out or whatever the case may have been, is there a scenario where the Texans could have turned it around? I don't think there is. I don't think they could have gotten Deshaun back on board. I think Deshaun wanted to go. I think his agent wants him to go. I think his agent will push to make it happen. I don't think there's anything that the Texans could have done. They could have fired Jack Easterby. They could have. I'm just not 100% convinced that this wasn't going to be the end result no matter what.
Mm-hmm. James Campen, the offensive line coach, met the media. A lot of different quotes we'll get to on the other side right here about this. And we'll see about this running game. We'll talk about that right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:31 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-377. Any thoughts on James Campen met the media, and a lot of quotes coming out from James Campen. One of the quotes, though, that came out earlier, I think this was from Coach Bo. He was talking about the, or maybe it was from, Tim Kelly. He said he's got to do a better job of calling the plays, more running plays. The Texans were next to last in number of runs. Texans were obviously one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst team in the league, in running the football. Some of that had to do with getting a 50-some-year-old running back that didn't hit the line. Some of that had to do with you have an excellent quarterback and why am I going to run the football. Some of that had to do with, you know, they're always behind, so they got to run the ball. Is this offensive line going to be better this year?
Yes. Yes, I think Campen is going to make a difference. I think that you have more talent to work with.
Is Marcus Cannon going to be on the field? I think he is.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens right guard, right tackle. I mean, I assume right tackle still Titus Howard. We'll see how right guard, right tackle shapes out. I think a big part is going to be how does Justin Britt play at center? Because Nick Martin was just – he was literally just a guy.
Point about Howard, the competition is more widespread than just two players. We have 8 offensive tackles on our roster now. Marcus has been playing right tackle for a long time in this league. I don't anticipate him moving very much.
Mm. Okay. So I think Marcus Cannon will be the swing tackle. If he doesn't, if he ends up a starting right tackle.
Howard at guard.
Well, it's possible that he stunk when he was there previously. They had to move Max Sharpton in.
That's a first-rounder. He better be on the – Titus Howard better be on the field.
He has to be on the field. Either he's starting at right tackle or he's starting at right guard. But I still think tackle's his better position, although I just think he's gotten too heavy. But Max Sharpton is going to be a real key also. Max is not a great run blocker. He's okay. But he can be a really good pass blocker, but he lost his confidence last year. If they can get him back on track, and if Justin Britt can be more dynamic than Martin, who is a pretty stationary run blocker, he wasn't going to be able to get positioning on people. Britt's a better athlete. If they can get more dynamic play from the center, and if they can, and Max Sharpton, I think, is a good fit for a lot of outside zone stuff. Mm-hmm. I think an outside zone offense is a good look for this running game. This team is not built to be a power blocking team like Bill O'Brien, you know, had wanted when he first came in. And he did make some adjustments and went to some zone blocking at different times when he was with the Texans. But I do think the offensive line is going to be better than last year. I do. I don't think it could be worse. Like, and I don't mean that like that was the worst offensive line ever. I mean, I don't think this offensive line, the way they played and the level of talent they have, which is definitely NFL caliber talent, I don't think they could play that inconsistently and poorly like they did last year. And Titus Howard, you know, if he stays on the field, your right tackle position is going to be better anyway.
Yeah. Well, Campen said about Sharpink, smart young man. He's worked extremely hard, very competitive situation. Like Max, like everyone else, the expectation is very high. Justin Britt is probably locked into the center position. What they've got, I mean, they've got like 60 offensive linemen that are competing this year. They signed just about everyone that was available. He was one of the best centers in football until he got hurt. I know he's excited to get back on the field. He's got leadership traits and that are very positive for the group. So I think you could probably pencil in Justin Britt, Marcus Cannon, Lane Taylor.
Lane Taylor is still a factor inside a guard.
Yeah.
Like, you still are going to have to watch out for him. He could be a starting guard. I'm telling you, Max Sharpton is not necessarily locked in as a starter.
No. Howard probably, though, you have to lock him in as a starter, don't you?
None. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the top.
Listen, they didn't bring Marcus Cannon over here. Marcus Cannon didn't come over here to be a swing tackle.
Yeah, but he's older, though.
Yeah, but.
And they didn't spend much on him. It could be. I think this is real competition. The Texans are not married to – Nick Cassero is not married to anybody on that offensive line. Said it before, and I will say, you must remember this. He comes from a team that will cut a player in a heartbeat. They will move a player in a heartbeat. They do not fall in love with players who are early-round picks. If they don't think you're competing at a level they want, they will get rid of you. There is nothing that ties him to Titus Howard. There's nothing that ties him to Max Sharpton. Nothing. Nothing that ties him to Lonnie Johnson. They were all in the same draft. Nothing. So whoever they think are the best players are, that's who they're going to play. Now, if it's Lane Taylor and Marcus Cannon, okay, there's 2 30-year-old guys. I mean, there's 3. Justin Britt's got to be over 30 now, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Britt, Marcus Cannon, Lane Taylor. Okay, if those are your starters, guess what? You got a Band-Aid brand offensive line because all those guys are older players who are short-term solutions. They're not long-term solutions. So you're going to have to rebuild on the offensive line again. But just because you get beat out early doesn't mean that, you know, you can't make – but you're in year three. If Max Sharping's getting beat out already again in year three, if Titus Howard ends up having to play guard instead of tackle, for me that will be disappointing. Because you drafted him in the first – you didn't draft him to be a guard in the first round. You drafted him because you thought he could be a legitimate tackle. But, you know, you got to question Brian Gaines' decision-making and Bill O'Brien's decision-making. Those are the two guys who
– I can't question Bill O'Brien's decision-making.
No, you can't. There's not enough there.
I mean, question that. That credibility, there's – okay, he knows football, okay?
Yeah.
He knows how to pick talent. He knows how to make trades. He's a football guy, Lance, and you're questioning his ability?
Yeah.
What exactly do you do, Lance?
Yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what you do. Questioning his ability.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's smart. And oh, by the way, it has to be Philip Lindsay. Are we going to, you know, we talk about the running game last year. How much of it? I know David Johnson had a couple of good games at the end of the year. But how many holes did he miss? How many holes closed up?
I would tell you, if I were an odds maker, who will have the most touches on a Texan? David Johnson for sure is going to be my favorite. For sure. I think Mark Ingram might even be second. Like, I don't think Philip Lindsay is one of the favorites.
By week three,
although he can,
Philip Lindsay will have the most touches.
You think run and catch over David Johnson?
Yeah.
This team likes David Johnson.
No. Well, that was the...
Have you seen his... Do you see how prayed up he is on his Twitter bio? And you're telling me Jack is going to not have... Okay. Of course, Jack's supposed to
be... I don't think Jack is yelling, guys, get out there. Is he the substitution coach?
No, that's true. Jack is not, does not have that.
Okay. I don't think he's the... As long as he's on the team and he's leading everyone in the right direction, then we're fine with him. Then that's fine. But does he have to be on the field, actually on the field, you know, running slow and all that stuff? No, I don't think so. Wow, the Texans website still has Deshaun Watson on the roster.
Because he is.
Well, not really.
You can't just take him off the roster randomly.
Is he, though?
Yeah.
Are you, though?
He counts as a spot.
Are you, though?
Until he's not, he is.
No, I don't believe that, not for a minute.
Officially on the roster.
I can't. He's on the roster. This isn't up for debate. It's not your objective truth.
See, I don't know.
Or your subject.
I just
truth.
Saw Terod's hair for the first time. I'm not sure that's what Jack Easterby's looking for.
What do you mean?
I'm just not.
What's wrong or not wrong with Terod's hair?
Nothing's wrong with Terod's hair. I'm just not sure that's what Jack Easterby's looking
for. Where's this picture you're seeing?
Well, it's on the Texans roster, on the Texans website.
Is it even an updated picture?
No, Whitney Merciless, that's what he's looking for.
Is it even an updated picture?
Who cares about sacks? I like his hair.
Is it a picture they just grafted over from the Chargers website? Has he even been in for a team photo yet?
He finally met. No, it's actually in his Chargers uniform.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
on the Texans website, they have a picture of him in his Chargers uniform.
Maybe he's changed the haircut to
maybe.
To
I hope adapt. So. Well, maybe Jack
something
told him.
More acceptable maybe by Jack standards.
The
Yankees, is that
are
what you're
like,
saying?
Are the Texans like the Yankees now?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to get the right haircut.
You have to get the right haircut if you want to be on Team Jack.
John, what's the right haircut?
John, you guys have spent... Oh, you know what the right haircut is.
I don't know what the right haircut is.
Is there a part on the side?
Better not be.
There's not a side part. Oh, no. Jack doesn't like a side part?
It depends
Jack
on...
Jack likes
it depends
part.
On the type of hair getting the side part.
I'm
now,
not
you
sure
know who's
Terod
got a perfect
Taylor's going to have a side part.
You know who's
part.
Had a perfect haircut for the Texans? Alex Erickson.
What, in his Bengals stuff?
In his Bengals jersey. Can well, we update
picture-
this and take...
No, they
can we
had
not have
day.
A photographer
haven't
anymore?
Had picture day yet.
Ooh, but,
picture
you know day. What? That dude that tweeted out about Kamala Harris that was in the bubble, he was their photog, so he might
Oh,
not-
he was theirs?
Yeah, he was every what? Team's. He.
What
yeah.
do you mean every team's?
Well, that dude was the main photog for all our teams. And apparently
oh,
he's not
yeah. Well, but he wasn't... was he... He was a freelancer who worked for the teams.
Yeah.
So okay.
Yeah. But they all used him.
I'd seen him plenty of times over the years. Joe something, I think his name was.
Joe Lindsay? I know him.
Whatever it was, it didn't go well for him after
that. Not after his Kamala Harris tweet in the bubble.
You guys,
that's the wrong place to tweet that.
You guys have talked a lot about a football team that doesn't have any chance of winning a title. Do you know there's some news out there about how we might decide the college football national title? I mean, it's out there.
Oh, I haven't heard this yet.
Well, okay.
John, you are all about expansion. I don't know if you're going to like this type of expansion.
Well, let's see. On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5
punch up,
and 92.5.
Punch up your website right now. I am going to have, for my NFL draft site I'm putting together, for consumers, we are going to have, we've got the back end built, the static prototype. What we need is a better design. It's just such a dull design. So what we need is somebody to punch up the front side, the user interface. And that's where my personal need for SiteJab is going to rest. Now, for many of you, you need a complete redesign on your front page. For some of you, you might want the front end and back end completely built because you've got a new business and you want to get a website going, but you want e-commerce on there. You want to make sure that you have branded video, plenty of social media interaction. Whatever you're looking for, my guys over at SiteJab can do it. Hector and his entire staff do a phenomenal job of taking what is hot right now and taking everything that really tells people who you are and what your business does, and they convey it to the people who are looking at your website. So they keep them on the website longer. It's good looking. It's sharp. It's informative. And it turns those eyes into business leads. And that's what websites are really about for small and medium-sized businesses. You need a website that is going to, you know, tell people who you are, what you are, and get them excited enough to become a lead for you to close, and you can make that money. Make sure that you have an updated website or you get any of your questions answered by going to sitejab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When last we left you, suggesting a new college football playoff format. I'm all for it. I've been for five conference champions. So, in the argument, the games will mean everything. How many times is the Pac-12 or the Big 12 or even the ACC, the second team in the ACC, like, what, that doesn't matter. This doesn't matter because I can't get in. I can't get in the playoff even if I win the ACC championship. So it means something. Every single game will mean something. Every conference game will mean something if the conference champ goes to the playoff. And then, you know, if there's an upset, let's say Clemson got upset by North Carolina. North Carolina wouldn't go to the playoff, and Clemson might not go to the playoff.
Yeah, depending on how their seasons had gone previously, right. Certainly.
Then this way, if you got more, then both could possibly go. Now, I like eight, the five champions, a group of five champ, and then two at large. But what's being proposed now, Joe?
Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports wrote about it last night. Looks like 11:39. He wrote about it. And apparently, the leader in the clubhouse and without a real challenger is 12. 12 teams, so that includes your model, five conference champions plus the group of five, top-ranked group of five, and then you'd have six other at-larges. Now, this is a play to be more inclusive because the Pac-12 is like, look, if we went to eight, sure, we'd get our team, and then like the two other at-larges would probably be SEC teams.
Let's face it.
Seeing as how it goes.
It'll be Georgia, okay?
And now,
if it's five conference champs, a group of five, University of Houston, and then...
Okay, right. Look at that. Cincinnati's like, excuse me.
No. Sorry, Cincinnati.
What do you mean, sorry, Cincinnati?
And then two at large. And you know the two at large. It could well be Georgia and LSU. Or Georgia and Florida.
Yeah.
Or Georgia and whomever.
Auburn or A&M.
Or A&M. Yeah. This year it would have been A&M.
Yeah.
A&M would have gotten there. So, the other. And you know what? I can't blame the Pac-12. Because every year, all they'd get in is their conference champ.
Yeah, and it would, and no other team would have a chance. Like, let's go back to the last year we had a normal season.
Yeah, 19.
19. So we know LSU would have been the one, but the Pac-12 would have gotten Oregon in at 6, and Utah would have been up. Remember, those two teams played in a conference title game. Fortunately for Utah, if Utah would have won, they would have went in. Oregon had already lost two games, so they're out. So Utah would have been a viable candidate for an at-large.
They were an at-large, or they were a candidate to beat. Right. If they would have won that game.
They could have got jumped over, but they had a real shot at getting it.
Into the playoff, the 14 playoff.
Yes.
So they certainly would have been in with 12 teams.
Yes.
So they're talking about 12 teams now, and the top four get a bye. The next eight play.
On home sites. On
home
campuses.
Sites
yes.
of the top higher seeds. Rated team.
Yes, and then you would go to bowl games once you cut it down to.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
it's perfect. You know, and it does. It appeases the second and third teams, the second teams at least in all the other conferences, and the second and third team in the SEC. Because there's quite possibly of the six at larges,
you'd probably get 2 to 3 SEC teams.
Yes,
yes, but you'd also have some variety. You'd open up college football to a broader audience because right now, I've talked about it, unless you're Oregon and even Oregon has some work to do, college football doesn't particularly matter west of Oklahoma at this point as far as the championship picture is concerned.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah.
Well, Oregon had been.
Oregon. Other than Oregon.
Yes.
Oh, but other
than them.
It's going to change, though, once Keaton Slovis rockets the USC
You don't believe in Keaton Slovis.
Yeah, and he becomes the first pick of the draft. I do believe that.
Who was that shot at? You don't believe in Keaton Slovis.
I do. I believe he's going to be the first pick of the draft.
You do?
Yeah. He looks the part. You can already see guys that are coming up. Now, I haven't looked at him tape-wise. I'm looking at center.
The same guy who threw a pick on the first pass of a spring game? That guy?
Yeah, you know what? If you don't run the right route, that happens.
Did you see the play? You can't blame the receiver for what he did. Keaton Slovis looks the part. So does JT Daniels, the guy who he replaced. Why isn't JT Daniels the number one pick
overall?
JT
Daniels could be.
Yeah.
You know who looks the part now? Malik Willis.
Well,
that looks the part more.
I will go with the Oklahoma quarterback because that's what he does.
So if it was 2019, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma would get byes. So they would probably flip this up because Georgia would play Auburn and Oregon would play Utah. They'd probably flip those two so that Georgia would play Utah. Oregon would play Auburn.
You need to throw in a group of five in there, remember? So what group of five is taking out one of those top 12 teams?
Oh.
Memphis has to go. So who are you removing? Probably Auburn?
Probably Utah. Maybe Utah. They ended up Auburn. Auburn probably out. Although they just beaten Alabama, right?
They just beaten
Alabama.
It's three loss Auburn. So
it was four loss.
Sounds
yeah.
like a bunch of three deserving loss. Teams.
Well, if it's well, we see this
it's
in
still
the,
good. In it's the, still we, good football.
Well, the FBS
better than just being a bowl game.
I just
it's
don't
a
know
playoff game. It's the same as a bowl game.
I just don't know why people think the FCS
have like an NIT.
Why do people think the
FCS... Give them the NIT bowl game tournament.
No.
Why do people think the FCS has to be so different from the lower divisions?
I don't know.
There are teams, 16 of them, and not all of them are favorites to win the title, but yet that's been going
that's
on
fun.
For years.
That's fun. And yeah, every other division has a playoff, a regular playoff. Why is it you can't have a regular playoff like that?
On a serious note, and this is something that you can't just say, nope, that doesn't matter. The brain trauma stuff, when you add games, and there have been reports for years and years, there's a study at Purdue 5 years ago, at least six years ago, where the brain begins to heal itself after, I think it's 10 games, where you have a chance to sustain, but it will heal itself once you have the amount of games, frankly, that the NFL has. that's the concern. With college adding more and more games, we're up to 13. You start adding 15, 16 for teams. And yep. And how are you going to get through a whole season?
They're already playing 16. They're already playing 16 in lower divisions.
Yeah.
So what? Yeah, why FCS are they separate?
Because no one cares because it's FCS. That's why.
Well, you can't use the health thing.
Wait, wait a minute. So no one talks about
it. Well, if nobody cares about them, why are we caring about
Division
1? Are you going
to pay the athletes to play 16 games?
Why are we – what Division 1?
I'll make the argument. Are you going to pay them to play more?
That's different.
Yeah, you are going to pay. They are going to pay more.
No. That's different. Don't use health. Don't use health as your example why it can't be done if they're letting the kids in lower divisions do it.
But I'm saying – well, no. I'm not saying that the league – I'm saying that you're going to start to hear – I'll go on the record right now, and I'll put money on this if y'all want. You're going to hear complaints about why are these kids having to play more games.
I'm not listening to Christine Brennan. Okay, so I know Christine Brennan is going to have a real problem
by the way,
because there's still somebody in Cambodia that can get COVID. So that's going to be
by the way,
you're saying the COVID thing.
The argument is still silly to me because LSU played 15 games to win a national title. They're already up there. They played 15.
But
So this is just going to be one more game.
Well, I think what you're going to see is it's going to turn into. Oh no, it's really going to be. You could hear I think the concern is more health. The argument that you would have is especially for guys who are going to go play in the league too. But the argument you're going to have is going to be why aren't these guys being paid? Don't pay any more. Play any more football for these big major universities. By the way, the universities need money right now. There's some programs that are in dire shape because of COVID last year.
You do know that if you go to a bowl game and if you go to the playoff, you get more money, right?
The teams?
Yes. And it can absolutely can trickle
down
to the players.
What about the players?
The players can, it can trickle down to the players.
How?
Well, just to make an agreement with them and do it. Trickle down to the players. Yes.
Make an agreement.
Yeah.
The NCAA says, we'll agree to pay you money. That's not happening.
Well, in today's world, it absolutely can't.
Well,
happen.
It's going to be the argument.
Yeah,
it's going to be the argument. Is don't you pay? I also wonder, are guys going to play an entire? If you tell,
it's only going to be one more game, Lance. It's not going to. It's only going to be one more game. By the way, like you said, LSU, if in this scenario, would actually play one more game. That's
Are you playing conference championship games? Because that.
Yes,
that can
and
hurt
it still doesn't matter because the conference champions,
teams.
Guess what, played in their championship game and they're going to get buys.
So who is suggesting this?
This is absolutely it's actually
it's
right.
Not a suggestion. It's they're talking about it.
That's what I mean.
It's a legit option.
That
the conference commissioners, the TV people, they're talking about it, and currently a 12 team playoff is the leader, and there really isn't a second option right now. As far as different teams, I mean, different number of teams. 12 seems to be the one they want to go with because it's inclusivity, no one can complain, and also the money involved of playing more playoff games.
And by the way, if your team is good in the playoffs and name, image, likeness, there's a better possibility that you are going to get more money because you are in the playoff. So there's all kinds. Listen, every other division can do it.
Look,
other sport can do it. Contact sport, wrestling, all of them, they all have a regular playoff. This is the only one that doesn't.
The money thing, you want to fight on that, that's fine. But I don't want to hear anyone talk about the health because North Dakota State's been playing 16 games for how long?
Yeah.
And no one has said a word.
Yeah. All right, it's 9:58 ESPN 97.5. We're going to have Jerome Solomon on the other side to talk about this, his ticket. Very interesting if you haven't seen it yet. The Texans and their wait list. It looks like it's over. It looks like it's something of the past, and that is not a great thing for the organization. So we'll talk to Jerome about his article next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.